but they're still doing the 9-to-5 job. They still work for somebody else, and I am not putting that down at all. That's their path. That's what they're comfortable with. That is not what I was comfortable with. I did not stay in contact with anybody from high school. I didn't want to be in high school in the first place. Why would I want to go back or hang around with anybody from there?
I don't hang around with anyone from high school.
What's that?
I don't hang around with anyone from my high school.
I don't either. Because of Facebook, I met a friend of mine who I knew in college. So 30-some years later, we reconnect. On a trip, I had dinner with him. And I saw so clearly how he was still in the mindset he had 30 years ago.
Yes.
When he was broke, he was struggling. And he admitted over dinner he hasn't made over $20,000 in a single year in his entire life.
Oh, my.
And in fact, when we left, I found out he was about to lose his home, and he asked for a loan from me. I gave him money as a gift, just like an old-time thing. You know, we were friends at one point, so here you go. Let me help you out. But I clearly saw that if you hang around those same people, you are going to have the same beliefs. They're going to acquire yours almost by osmosis. It's just going to be in the air. It'll be in your conversation. You won't even notice it. And if you really want to separate from the pack, you've got to leave that group and go into a higher achieving group. Create one, join one, pay to be in one, whatever it happens to be, but break free.
Another thing that you talk about, and by the way, folks, we're now only on page 41. So you say money is good, which I totally agree with, and that if you are only motivated by money alone, it is a fast track to unhappiness.
Right. Yeah, it's not about money. It's really about passion. When people would corner me and say, look, how did you go from homelessness and poverty to living the lifestyle of the rich and famous? What's your secret? And of course, they're all looking for a magic pill. They want to know what's the one thing or what's the one book or what's the one seminar, what's the one anything. And I was frustrated until I realized, well, there is one thing. I've followed my passion. I followed my passion. When I was interested in P.T. Barnum, I spent 6 months researching him and another 6 months writing a book. That book was a turning point in my life. That's the book you mentioned in the intro. It's called There's a Customer Born Every Minute. I didn't write it because anybody dangled lots of money in front of me. I wrote it because my very sincere, passionate interest in this famous showman and marketer and politician and best-selling author. I was absolutely curious about him. I've done that with everything. Very rarely is money the motivating factor. I do have an eye on money because I'm an entrepreneur too. And I focus on passion because I think that's where the juice of life is. That's where all my energy comes from. That's why they call me Mr. Fire, is that I'm on fire pursuing my passion. As I pursue my passion, I'm enough of a businessman to keep an eye on, well, does that make me any money? And the only reason I want to make money is the same reason Walt Disney did. Walt Disney said, I want to make money from my movies so I can continue making movies.
Yes.
That's the purity of intent. I've heard Donald Trump, who everybody thinks is this giant egotist, he says, I'm not in love with money. I'm in love with deal making. That's his passion.
How he knows if
he's made a good deal or not is if he's made money. Money ends up being the neutral scorecard. That's it. So I think it's far more important to follow your passion and do what you love and then allow money to come to you. You have to keep an eye on it because money has its own rules and money has to be watched and money has to circulate. There's, you know, whole topics. And, of course, as you know, I wrote a whole book on attracting money. So that's a whole separate focus. But I think passion is the key.
I so agree. We're almost out of time, but I had one more question for you. And I love your story in your book about learning music and how to sing and play your guitar. And you talk about something in this book that is so powerful, and that is how we all judge ourselves so harshly that we have these inner critics. And you call it the mind...
Gestapo. Yes.
Now... talk to us, how can we stop being so mean to ourselves?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I really believe awareness is the first step, because most of us will fall into beating ourselves up and not realizing that we're doing it. We'll feel the effects of it, but we won't realize that beating up is coming from inside of us, and we actually have control. We can stop it. We can actually create an inner cheerleader. We have an inner critic in ourselves that we've developed and polished, and it's alive and well. And for most of us, we identify with the inner critic. So when it says something negative, we feel like we said something negative. But it's not. It's a subpersonality. It's a belief system that's speaking the negativity. So awareness of that is the first step. Creating an inner cheerleader is another aspect, and this is just doing the opposite. We created the inner critic over time because we heard criticism from our parents, and we heard it from the school system, and we heard it from any organizations we were in. We heard it growing up, and so we think that's part of us, and that's necessary. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it serves us. What we want is an inner cheerleader who says, you can do it. You can learn this. This is your passion. This is your calling. You can be outstanding in this area. You can learn anything with practice and persistence. You want your inner cheerleader. And then the other aspect of this, I think it's very powerful to have a support team. And that could be your own coach. That could be your own mentor, your own friend, somebody who is believing in you. With my music, the guy who created the remembering process we talked about is my music producer, Daniel Barrett. And Daniel was the one who heard me. I remember singing a song for him, and I stopped midway through the song, and I started beating myself up. Oh, I sounded terrible. I'm off key and this, that, and the other. And he looked at me, and he said, do you realize you just brought the mind Gestapo in and trampled all over your dream? And I had to stop and go, you know, I don't think I really realized it. I was feeling the effects of it, but I was so caught up in that criticism that I just allowed it to steamroll me. So also having somebody who believes in you and can point out what you're doing is very, very enlightening.
Absolutely. Well, would you be kind enough to tell everybody where they can find you, a website?
Sure. They can go where the book that we've been talking about. Just go to instantmanifestationbook.com, instantmanifestationbook.com. And there they will find the book and me.
Yes, they will. And Joe, I am very, very grateful for all of your wisdom. And folks, we didn't even get to ask questions on the last half of the book, if you think the first half was good. So I do recommend the book. I'd like to be able to interview you again in the future. Can I get a yes for that?
Absolutely. Anytime you want.
Okay. All right, folks, for more information about Joe and some little tidbits from his book, please go to miltier.com. Go put in your coaching code for the month and go to the Millionaire Smarts coaching site. And this is Lee Miltier in great, great gratitude to you, Joe. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right, folks, I'll see you next month.